Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
How are you doing tonight? Glory to God. Tonight is an honor to be here in the nation of Zambia. I don't take it for granted for the privilege to be standing here to share with us the word of the Lord. I want to sincerely appreciate and celebrate God's servant, the lead apostle, over this commission and this phenomenon move of God here in the nation of Zambia. That's awesome. Spirit of honor. We celebrate God's servant, Apostle Sunday Siyangwe, and his dear wife. Pastor Mrs. Bope Siyangwe, thank you so much for having me. It's truly an honor. Hallelujah. And of course, all the ministers that are here, my friend, Apostle Harari is there, Isaac, and of course, God's servant, Pastor Chipodak, that's my brother. Truly an honor to have you. And of course, all the ministers of God that are here this evening, God bless you richly. And of course, our delegates from Botswana and different parts of the country here in Southern Africa. Thank you so much for coming. Tonight is my first night, and so I'll just take out time to give us a holistic view of the journey we'll be embarking upon in the next couple of days. I'll try to keep it calm for a while and trust God just to share a few things with us. It's really going to be corrosive this week. It will be intense, but it's important to build and to establish perspectives clearly before we delve into more intense dimensions of the Spirit. Can we lift our hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord one more time? Just tell the Lord to visit you. To visit you tonight. Let Him visit you tonight. Let Him visit you tonight. Just talk to Him. Be deliberate. Talk to Him. Mabras Kevratali Shagatak. Ziga Paru Sabredila Anta Sizi Aragadina Sadak. Libra Kadu Sabratili Gaparu Sadravali Kazai. Ziza Kabru Sadila Mandalas. Bragadidi Sanzo Bragadila Aradadas. Zegebaru Sadadadina Paradagaya. Rakapate ke pondre tila gada vila sadazanish Zakiro Paragado Sadidadana. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, we give you glory. We honor you, we magnify you, we exalt your name. We ask that even tonight, your name alone be glorified. Thank you because there will be mighty visitations even this evening, even as we bless you and celebrate you for that. We ask that you cause us to transfer all the glory to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I want to share with us tonight. Thank you so much, choir. God bless you. I want to share with us tonight on the many dimensions of the help of God. Our world is in crisis. Darkness, the Bible says, shall cover the earth, and it says gross darkness shall cover the people. In our current dispensation, that is no longer a shall. That is a present continuous reality. Darkness is covering the earth, and gross darkness is covering the people. And so every mortal walking on the face of the earth today needs the help of God. In Acts 26, verse 22, the great apostle Paul was speaking. And he said, Acts 26, 22, he said, having obtained help from God, he said, I have continued to this day. And so everything you see happening in the lives of people is an expression of a dimension of the help of God. My assignment tonight is to show us the different dimensions of help that is in God, as much as I have seen from the scriptures, and also to show us the different levels of accessing that help and how to deploy ourselves to make it an experience. Many persons are either oblivious to this reality called help, or they are aware of it, but they don't know how to access it. And because they don't know how to access it, they are frustrated. And in their frustration, they either begin to accuse God of being unfaithful, or they begin to accuse the people God is helping of not being truthful, because they assume what they are saying is stage managed. When you start talking to people about God's faithfulness, they wonder whether what you say is true or false. It's even easier for people to believe in dark powers in our world today than to believe in God. When they see something supernatural happening, they say it's magic. When they see something supernatural happening, they say it's the devil. Because the supernatural dimensions of God seemingly is no longer a part of our everyday experience. And so people no longer believe it's possible. Even those who believe, they don't believe it's possible in their own lives. When they see God do something in another person's life, they thank God for doing that. But when it comes to their own personal life, God is the last being they will resort to, because they no longer believe in the reality of the help of God. And some even go as far as believing, but they don't believe it can happen now. You know, when Jesus came to Lazarus' tomb, they didn't have a problem in believing in the power of God. In fact, they believed God could raise the dead, but they believe it's at the end of time. So they either make it futuristic or they trace it back to the past. God did it in Bible days, I believe it, but now I'm not sure. Tomorrow when we leave this world, God will show his wonders. I believe it in the future, but not now. And your problems are not in the future, they are now. You therefore need to understand how to bring the help of God to now. Because that's where you need God's help. You need God's help now. When God was introducing himself to Moses, he knew Moses had that challenge. And it's not your fault that you believe in the God of yesterday and the God of tomorrow, but not the God of now. It's not your fault. Gideon had the same experience. He believed in the God that worked wonders in Egypt, but he didn't believe in the God that would deliver them from the hands of the Midianites. In fact, when God was introducing himself to Moses, what God was laboring to achieve was to make Moses believe, I am the God of now. He said, I am that I am. I am in the present. Anything you call me and anytime you call me, that is what I become. And so if you assume that I'm in the future, I'll wait for you in the future. If you assume that I'm in the past, there's no argument about it. I am in the past. But in case you are able to believe that I am in now, then I am that I am. Are you following? And this is why the Bible said now faith is. It didn't say tomorrow. It didn't say yesterday. It said now faith is. So if your faith is not in now, then you are a victim. And so it's important for us to understand how the help of God works and begin to access that help. Are you ready tonight?
Yes.
I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation. Shekinah is here. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation. Yahweh is here. We cry holy. You know the challenge I have? I connect to heaven to minister. So you have to pray. All two things will happen. I will charge my spirit and leave you behind. But if you find me and we journey together, you too will function from there. And you will stop being an expert. Because when David was playing sound, he wasn't playing skill. He was playing the movements of the spirit. The movement. Instruments can be learned, but instrument and sound is spiritual. That's why David was casting out demons from people with harp. That means the harp also has a language. Demons hear it. David trained a warriors, not in the military school, it's with sound. He said, with my harp, I utter dark sentences. He prophesied with the harp. So you can come to David broke. If he starts playing the harp will become rhythms of prophecy. And you will live there and break into a dimension. So just come there. Yeah, touch it gradually. Let's journey. So because of that, let me read some verses. There are three dimensions to the help of God. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Let's begin from there. Meanwhile, tomorrow I won't be calm like this. I just need to carry all of us along. It said, then the men of Kijat Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. My major scripture is in verse 12. But I want to give us background to what we are reading. Okay, go to verse 12. Let me show you something. It says, Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpeh and Shem and called the name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. And so in this scripture, you are going to find three dimensions of help. But I need to read the scripture from the beginning so that you will follow. I want to guide us through something. In the last 10 minutes, I can ascend. But let me guide us through something first. So that you can do this in your job. You can do this in your homes. You can do this anywhere. That's my goal tonight. To give you something that you can practice. It says, strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern good and evil. something you can exercise yourself in. Are we together? So let's take this journey gradually for now. Begin from verse 2 again, 1 Samuel 7, and see what happened. It says, so it was that the ark remained in Kiriath-Jearim a long time, and it was there for 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. The ark of God, which was supposed to be the symbol of God's power and intervention, was lying desolate for 20 years, and the people were lamenting because they didn't know how to access help. I'm saying that to let you know that every one of us here, that it looked as if our situation is hopeless, is actually sitting in the midst of help. The reason things look hopeless is because we don't know what to do to access help. So people can be in captivity for as much as 20 years and not being able to access help. Not because help is not available, but because they don't know how to access it. And they can begin to lament and talk to God and get angry why all they need for a glorious life is with them and they are not aware. He said these people were lamenting for 20 years. Don't assume you know what to do except the scripture reveals it to you. In John chapter 5, the Bible speaks of a man who was at the pool of Bethesda. He was waiting for the waters to be stirred to jump in. Now, the Lord of life himself came to him and asked him, will thou be made whole? That was a simple question to answer. Yes, I want to be made whole. He didn't know what to say. He started narrating stories. He said, I've been here for 38 years. Every time the pool is stirred, there's nobody to help me. Help himself has come, and you are talking stories. Nobody is asking you for how long you have been there. The question is, will thou be made whole? He was telling stories. When Jesus saw that if I follow this man, he will be here for another 38 years, he just said, your sins are forgiven. Stand up, go home. Because some people cannot be helped. They are the hindrances to the help of God. The reason we teach this is to make you know your situation is not so difficult. It is ignorance that made it like a mountain. 20 years of lamentation, the ark of God was present. Go to verse 3. It said, then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, after 20 years. The question you now ask is, why did they not go to Samuel for 20 years? What can be changed in one day can last for 20 years. A circumstance that can be turned around in one day can last for 20 years. And God is looking at you. And you are thinking, God, where are you? He's in heaven. And you are bothered with time. Where he's dwelling, there's no time. You are the only one who is conscious of longevity. He is dwelling in eternity. And in eternity, yesterday, tomorrow, and today are the same. It depends on what you call it. Are you seeing why what you are considering is not what God is considering? I've been here for 15 years. God was there 15 years ago and he's still there now. Because he's already in yesterday, he's in today, and he's already in tomorrow. So when you are telling God, I'm here for 15 years, God is in every time at every time. You are the one who is referencing past and future. He is in eternal now. So it is when you bring him into the equation that the answer comes. He doesn't know yesterday, tomorrow, or next tomorrow. He every time is now. So you can actually solve the problem of tomorrow in today. And you can actually solve the problem of yesterday today. The choice is yours. But you need understanding. And he said, Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel saying, if you will return to the Lord. So in 20 years they went away from the Lord. They thought they needed God to help them, but they went away. If you will return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only, he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So he told them three things that made them remain in captivity. Number one, their heart was away from God. Number two, they had other things that they put their trust in. There are some of you who are here, you believe in the government so much that you can take loan believing salary is coming. Because government has become your God. There's nothing wrong. You labor for the salary is good. But if you substitute government to be your God, then you will suffer when government fails. And trust me, government will fail many times. So there are many persons that have foreign gods they are not aware. Some of you believe in your uncle so much because you saw your uncle driving a car. Meanwhile, even that car was loaned. You are not aware. Your uncle needs to do packaging to sustain his reputation in society. You are building your hope on what you don't know. He said that is a foreign god. Anything that is not God that you make a god in your life will put you in jeopardy. He said number one, their hearts are away from God. Number two, they have made foreign gods for themselves. And number three, he said they have stopped serving the Lord. And so any man who wants to access God's help, this is the cure that Samuel gave him. Your heart must return to God. You must not make any other thing to be Lord over your life. And then you must return to the service of God. You know, many people think what they need is money. It's when you get money that you now discover that different amount of money have different spirits who are custodians over it. Because money comes with problem. You are here now, you don't have 1 million kwacha. And you think the day I get 1 million kwacha, my problems will finish. The day 1 million kwacha enters your account, 7 new problems will appear. And tell you, we operate in this realm. You didn't see us because you were not in this realm. Now that you have come to this realm, welcome on board. We are here waiting. Everybody who owns 1 million knows us by name. Money doesn't solve problems. Money brings problems. It's wisdom that solves problems. When I make 1 billion, I will change my world. If you make 1 billion, you now discover that it's not only demons that exist. There are other spirits called principalities and powers. They are rulers of the darkness of this world. Because they understand the magnitude of influence that 1 billion can give you. And so no spirit will allow a man who commands 1 billion to be alone. Because they know that a man who has 1 billion can command more than 10,000 people. He can determine the outcome of their life. So the moment that 1 billion comes, spirits will begin to attach themselves to you because they know money brings influence. And influence gives you authority over the souls of men. And so they will make sure they begin to control how you live your life. So 1 billion can frustrate your life much more than you were frustrated when you didn't have it. I'm telling you. You need to know what rich men go through. Have you not noticed? Some think if they get new position, their problem will be over. Go and check your politicians. They enter the office, their hair is black. 4 years later, the hair becomes white. Because every 1 year is 10 years. What? You won't understand at all. You are the one who think things can change your story. No. Things can't change your story. You are the one to use things to change things. Samuel gave us the cure to human affliction. He said, number one, your heart must return to God. Most of us, our heart wanders after many things. You will think the poor man who is begging, his problem is money. The day you give him money, you will now discover where his heart is. The moment he gets 300,000 kwacha, he buys a new car and marries 2 more wives. That is when you will discover his problem was never money. It would have been better he remained poor. That poverty was a blessing because he didn't have the ability to express his foolishness. He would have remained poor and he would have survived for a long time. And so, what we are looking for are actually the byproducts of the blessing. If you know the things that Samuel taught us here, money will come, influence will come, but they will no longer control you. You will use them to advance God's purpose on the face of the earth. And so when you want to find a man who can access the help of God, there are three conditions. The first condition is your heart must return to God. If you still think that a car is what will give you validation, you are far from the help of God. You need a car because cars will make your movement easy. If you think a plane will add value to you, you have not grown. Because the reason you need plane is to beat the stress of traveling so that you can meet urgent assignment. Because in the realm where princes exist, material things are not used to evaluate them. That's why I said a man's value is not defined by the multitude of his possession. Meanwhile, it's because you are still clothed with flesh that you need a car. If you come out of this body, they don't travel with cars. There's no angel that will brag with a car because they travel at the speed of thought. So if car is what gives you value, how can you now have meetings with angels? Because the realm where we change things is called Mount Zion. And in Mount Zion, it said there are a numerous number of angels. They are spirit of justice made perfect. That realm, they don't go with things. They go with essence. Who are you in the spirit? What do you carry? That's what gives you authority there. And the people who change things on earth, they live from Zion. They live from where you don't use clothes, you don't use cars. You have authority and power with God. That's where they live from. And that's why they change things by talking. When they talk, spirits walk. So Samuel was trying to educate Israel because they thought their problem was lack of material things. They thought their problem was the presence of the Philistines. And Samuel told them, the Philistines are not your problem. Material things are not your problem. Your problem is that your heart has departed from the Lord. So if you want to get God's help, you need to sit down and search your heart. Heart, where are you? And the way God traces a man's heart is to give him money. He said, where a man's treasure is, he said, there lies his heart. Your money, come find God. And you say, Lord, I love you. He stole it. Deceive men with it, not spirits. Spirits have their parameters of studying you. When God wants to study your heart, he puts some coins in your account. And immediately you become creative. So me like this, I have 50,000 kwacha. You call your friend and say, that restaurant, that time, where is it again? There's a watch I saw you wore that day. What is the name of that watch? Bring three. It's when 50,000 finishes, you now come back to God and say, I need thee every hour. And you'll be weeping. You'll be weeping. When you finish crying, clean your tears. Come back. Let's discuss the real matter. Because those tears can't move God. He knows. Even crocodiles cry. So if you want to check where your heart is, go back home after tonight's service, check. Go and carry your expenditure profile and find out the direction your money go to. That's why the help of God is far from you. Your heart is not with God. Some of us here, 90% of our expenses travel to us. We spend it on ourselves, on our appetite, and on our lust. And we claim that we love God. Samuel said, your heart is departed from the Lord. When a man becomes a kingdom man, he doesn't give anything to himself that he has not given to God. That's how you find the weight of men. I know this generation where people just come and act before God. That you sing a song that is anointed and people fell down. Does not mean there's anything happening with you. That song itself is anointed. The person who sang it caught it in the spirit. So there is anointed deposited in that song. There is an anointing inside that song. Anybody who sings that song, power will move. Because the song itself is anointed. It doesn't mean you have authority. And that you are weeping does not mean your heart is with God. Weeping is a biochemical process that happens with men. Angels don't weep, yet they love God. Please sit down. Sit down. This is preamble. I'm saying this thing, waiting for the sound man. I'm waiting for him. But you see, your heart must be with God. See, many times you see people gather, even you who is a pastor, you start feeling bad. You start blaming yourself. Lord, look at these poor people. Lord, why don't you care about them? Who told you? You think you love them more than God? God is protecting them. And so when we want to teach people about help, we need to teach them first about the study of the heart. He said the heart of a man is desperately wicked. There is deception there. They say, who can know it? He now said, I, the Lord, I try the heart. I test the reins to give to every man as his way. So when God wants to help a man, he first of all carries his heart through a test in the spirit. When the heart of a man passes God's test, then God can bring him help. This is why John said in 3 John verse 2, he said, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper and be in health, even as your soul. So the degree to which God can prosper you is the degree to which your soul is connected to God. If that help is God's help, because there are many help that does not come from God that we come to testify in church, you will need discernment to know who God is helping. Somebody goes to steal at night. He comes back and says, see what God has done for me in 7 years. If God opens your eyes, you will discover it's not God. Doesn't know. Even God is shocked. A lady goes to fornicate and buy a jeep and comes and says, see the goodness of God. Goodness. What is God's goodness? We don't know where it came from. God himself will be asking the angels, am I involved in this matter? The angels will say, no. Which angel went there? None of us went there. You are not involved. You can deceive men, not God. But the problem is that your life does not end in time. You are not a goat. Your life has its root in eternity. And by the time you finish from here, you will return back to eternity. You began from God, you will return to God. If you were a goat, you would have done what you wanted in time. But unfortunately, you are not a goat. You are a man. There is an immortal element on your inside. And on the strength of that immortal element, whether you like it or not, one day you will be summoned. And they will say, come back. And when you come back, the first thing you will meet is a throne. Because a man can't cross into heaven except he passes the throne. In Revelation 20, he said, I saw a great white throne. And he said, men, those that are alive and those that have died, they will all have to pass through the throne. The throne is the gate to heaven. The moment John appeared in heaven in Revelation 4, he saw a throne. You can't enter into God's realm except the throne permits you. And the throne judges in order to grant access. And so Samuel was teaching Israel that the key to accessing God's eternal help is to connect your heart vitally to God. When a man's heart is connected to God, then he said that man will also submit himself to serve God's will. If all you need is food, God can give you something to eat. But if you want to serve God's agenda on the earth, that's when you will see help. Because the anointing is for something bigger than you. Money, through wealth, is for something bigger than you. True wealth is not to buy a car and to dress well. True wealth is to push an agenda that is an eternal. It says, my city's true prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. So when God wants to push an agenda amongst men, one of the capitals he gives them is financial power. He said, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is him that giveth thee power to get wealth, that you may establish his covenant unto this day. So a man who has not submitted himself to serve the will of God will not really know the help of God. You will find mercy drop from time to time. But those who live, help my sister, those who live in the realm of help, they serve God. They serve God. Paul said, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. I belong to God. I'm sold out. Anything that comes to me now, I don't have an opinion on it. I will first of all ask God, what will you have me do? Because I don't own anything. I am a divine trust. When money comes, I ask God, how do we spend it? When influence comes, I ask God, how do we spend it? That's the kind of man God will open the boat of heaven to. Because the more God empowers him, the more God's agenda finds expression on the earth. There are too many people who are lamenting, accusing God, but they are actually the fault. God wants to help us. But the question is, are we ready for God's help? Where is your heart? What is the depth of your service and devotion? These are the cardinal parameters. And Samuel was speaking by the prophetic anointing. Because he knows beyond what is in the book. He has access from the spirit. He said, your problem is not God. Your problem is you. Where is your heart? Where is your loyalty? Those are the cardinal things God considers when he wants to help a people. I'm persuaded that this conference will not be over until you find help. It will not be over. You see, when a spirit is helping you, it doesn't need your natural advantage. You are eloquent, it doesn't need it. You have human connection. That is not what he's looking for. When you submit to him, he said, God, he can exalt the beggar from the dunghill and establishes him among princes that he may inherit throne. When God helps you, nobody can take the credit. He will do it in such a way that the person you write off on is the one that will do the greatest feat. And even you will know that there's a spirit involved. A spirit is involved. That's why when God wants to help men, it doesn't matter who is more intelligent. It doesn't matter who is more educated. It doesn't matter who is more handsome. Those things are good. They are principles of life. But over and above those things, where is the finger of God? Where is the finger of God? When you see God send a stammerer to speak for him, it means God is saying something greater than deliverance. He's telling you that I am the Lord. All things are mine. Both you that I'm delivering and the person I'm delivering you from, I'm the one sustaining all of you. You are the one calling it a deliverance, but in the realm of the mortals, we are just watching something play out. It's called God. Please sit down. Aliyah, Aliyah, the first layer of power is about to fall here. power that delivers men from captivity. Captivity that keeps men in obscurity. Whatever you do, it can be appreciated. Whatever you do, it can be seen. Whatever you do, it can be known. And so there is darkness around you. I, by decree, by the Spirit, ushers, help them for me. By the Holy Ghost, the power that brings about emancipation. The power that brings about deliverance. The power that brings about exhortation. Wherever you are, in this hall, online, by the Spirit, release, receive that power now. Take that power, take that power, take that power, take that power. Ushers, help them. Marakiba Kabash, Berakila, Barakana, Zadagabak, Baradina Takatu, Eato, Bamiya Takaya, Eya, 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 Eya. Come upon you like fire. The garment of reproach is about to be burnt off. I don't know what the devil put on you, but I speak over you by the Spirit of the living God. Wherever you are now, that garment comes off your life. In the name of Jesus, take that fire now. Take that fire now. Take that fire. That garment comes off your life now. That reproach is lifted. Pateke barakado sakatia arakira salabanda suzai. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the precious name of Jesus, your lives will never be the same again. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Please sit down for a moment. Anybody can be helped, and anybody can walk in the help of God. But there are three conditions. Your heart must be with God. You must renounce your allegiance to anything that plays God in your life. And number three, you must be devoted to serving the will of God. God is not a magician, and the things God does, it's not trial or error. It's not a fluke. It's something that can be replicated any day, anywhere, anytime, if you know what to do. Nobody is special. He said God is not a respecter of persons. He sent his word to Jacob, he lightened upon Israel. What he does with and for one, he can do with and for everyone. He is big enough to do that. But there are conditions. Where is your heart? Who is your God? And where is your loyalty? If you don't serve his will and his purpose, there is not so much he can do for you. Because he has an agenda on the face of the earth. And it's the men that commit themselves to sponsoring it that his help is resident with. What are the three dimensions of the help of God? Verse 5, 1 Samuel. He said, and Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. He's not praying to the Lord for himself. He's a man walking in the help of God. He wants to pray to the Lord for them. You know, when you say some things, it looks as if you are proud. Spiritual things are legalistic. If you know it, you know it. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your age. It has no respect for anybody. And if you are walking in it, there's no need pretending. And there's no need acting as if you are humble and denying it. When God is walking, acknowledge it. He said that the communication of your faith will become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. He said, I will pray to the Lord for you. And he went further in verse 6. He said, so they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water and poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day. And said there, we have sinned against the Lord. Their heart is returning to the Lord. And it says Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpeh. Go further. He said, now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. See, this is what a lot of people don't get. They feel when they submit to God is vulnerability. They feel when they submit to God is stupidity. So they want to recline back to their mental power, because they think it's vulnerability to come under God's government. In fact, people who don't know the ways of God can look at you and make a mockery of you. A whole you go and kneel down, disgracing yourself. They don't understand. That's why you have to be careful who you open your ears to. Because many people who know nothing about spiritual realities want to counsel you about spiritual things from their brain. This thing is deeper than the brain. When an infinite being is giving you his oracles, your mind can't rationalize it completely. He's deeper than you. The vastness of God is too boisterous for you to comprehend. They appeared vulnerable, so the Philistines thought, and immediately they gathered quickly. Now that they are in one location, let's go and kill all of them. He said, and when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines, because they thought, truly, we have become vulnerable. We were hiding behind the mountains. We were hiding behind the caves. They didn't know where we were. Now all of us have come to the open. What do we do? We are finished. That was when the help of God appeared. Because at this point, there's no confidence in self anymore. They have surrendered to God's will. And hear what happened. In verse 8, it says, so the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry to the Lord for us. He said that he may save us from the hands of the Philistines. They were lucky. They didn't make the mistake of running away. Do you see why many are frustrated? They start, and then the circumstance becomes tougher. They didn't have food to eat. They now say, we'll submit to God. The hunger became more. They were sick. They submitted to God. It looked as if the sickness became more. Instead of continuing, they now withdrew back. He said, we are not of them that withdraw unto perdition, but we continue to the saving of the soul. There is no future backward. There is only future ahead of you. And so instead of running away, they continued and told Samuel, please continue crying to the Lord for us. And then the help of God began to manifest. Verse 9. It said, and Samuel took a suckling lamb. I will show you some things. You need to see. See, priesthood intelligence is important. But I'll talk about it tomorrow. You see the thing Samuel was doing. He first of all proclaimed the fast. He poured water on the ground. He cried to the Lord. Now he took a lamb. That's an intelligent man spiritually operating. But I'm not dealing with that tonight. But see what Samuel did. He took the lamb and offered a burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel. And the Lord answered him. Tell somebody, the Lord answered him. He didn't answer him the next day. He answered him immediately. Because he knew what to do. The Lord answered him. Go to the next verse. And see what God did. He said, now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to the battle against Israel. These people were not carrying any weapon. They just came out defenselessly just to come and serve the Lord. That was naturally their most vulnerable standpoint. But see what God did. He said, but the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. Israel without arms, Israel without chariots, defeated the army of the Philistines that oppressed them for 20 years, because this time the help of God had appeared. There is a sovereignty of God that can be upon a man's life, that no matter what happens, the man will prevail. For the light shineth in the darkness. The light does not shine in the light. It's when the devil thinks he has gotten you, that's where God thunders. That's where God thunders. But the help of God must be with you first. The psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Not because I'm a trained warrior. Yes, I'm a warrior. But over and above my capacity to fight, he said, it's because the Lord is with me. The help of God is superior to 30 degrees put together. The help of God is superior to all the human connections put together. And so in addition to what you do, you must acknowledge God as your source. He said, God thundered from heaven. God thundered and discomfited the Philistines, and they were defeated by men without weapons. Your greatest weapon is not a gun. Your greatest weapon is not a bow. Your greatest weapon is the presence of God. When God is with you, it doesn't matter where you find yourself. And so the first dimension of God's help is captured in verse 10. It is called the intervention of God. There are many persons who are in trouble. There are many persons who are going through trials. The dimension of help you need is called intervention. This is the kind of help that God has to bring now. If God waits for 1 minute, you are finished. There are some persons who are in the hospital. They are in ICU. It is a do or die matter. He can't wait till tomorrow. 10 minutes can be too late. Those kinds of people require intervention. There are many persons who are going for a proposal. They are going for a contract. The interview is in 5 minutes. If God doesn't appear now, they are finished. So there is a kind of help that requires urgency to bring you out of crisis. It is called intervention. I don't know what you are going through. This conference is put together for you to have intervention. There are some persons, they ganged up against them. If God doesn't intervene and that meeting is over, something will go wrong. There are some persons that the business is about to pay. The armed robbers have already ganged up together. They are already coming to attack. There has to be a quick intervention. Sometimes it's a whisper and God tells you, take left. That take left is the difference between life and death. Sometimes it's just God trouble somebody. Rise up, call this person now. And the person calls the person and they are in the meeting trying to destroy somebody. And they say, no, I know that man, leave him. You won't know how it will happen. But somewhere, somehow, the sovereignty of God will mobilize all the forces to ensure that that program does not end. Because if that program ends, you are in trouble. It's called intervention. The first way God helps men is by bringing them intervention. And every one of us, again and again, we require intervention. If interventions don't come, there will be problem. As you are sitting here now, there are meetings, some of you going on in different places for you to be destroyed. Some of you is your workplace. Somebody who just hates you for the way you appear. He calls your boldness arrogance. He calls your excellence. He calls it whatever name he wants. And then he has talked to one boss. The boss has talked to another boss. And as I'm talking now, they are planning to kick you out of that job. And even God knows it's not about the job. If they kick you out of that job, it will take 7 years for you to build confidence again to look for another job. And in that 7 years, people that your money should save will die. Things that your money should do will spoil. And so God cannot wait for another 7 years for you to build confidence to get a better job. And so what God will do is to intercept that program so that they can take you out of the mouth of the lion. The reason many Christians are where they are today, struggling, is because they didn't access intervention. The guy is the most intelligent, but he needed just one man to speak on his account. But nobody spoke because there was no intervention. And it will take 10 years for him to come back to that strategic position again. The ministry is flourishing, but they ganged up against him. He needed just one man to say, no, that person is not like that. Nobody spoke. I heard a story of a young man who applied for the Navy in Nigeria. He got to the last level where they say they meet the generals. They call them the rednecks. And they asked him, who brought you here? He didn't have anybody. And he was kicked out. If you know projects that have failed, ministries that have failed, businesses that have failed, families that have failed because there was no intervention, you will weep. And sometimes this intervention is just for somebody to say, I know him. I know him. I know him. I prophesy over you. Before this conference is over, you will receive the intervention that you need. Intervention. The reason many pregnant women lost their children was lack of intervention. There was nobody to tell the doctor, hurry. And the doctor slept for 5 more minutes. And he thought it was 5 minutes as usual. That 5 minutes was the difference between life and death. If there was somebody to intervene, the woman and the child would have been kept. You will not be in a condition where you need intervention and it doesn't show up. Please be seated. And so the first dimension of help is intervention. Go to verse 11. This is not my message. I'm just trying to lay background. I don't know why I'm held here. It says, and the men of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued. You can imagine. Those who were afraid now are pursuing their enemies. You appeared vulnerable. As you leave this conference, what pursued you here, you will pursue it back. It said they pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth in Gath. Verse 12. He said, and Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shechem and called the name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. So this is the first dimension of help, but it doesn't stop here. If all you have is intervention, it's still not enough. Because while God is intervening in what you are going through now, there are some things you have lost already. God is still mindful of it. Because it's that big. Verse 13. It says, so the Philistines were subdued and they did not come anymore into the territory of Israel. And the hand of God was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Go to verse 14. It said, then the cities which the Philistines took. I'm trying to combine it now. The cities which the Philistines took from Israel were restored to them from Ekron to Gath. And Israel recovered its territories from the hand of the Philistines. Also, there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. 2 more dimensions. The second dimension is restoration. God can intervene so you don't lose in what you are currently going through. But that's not where God stops. When God helps you, even the ones you lost, the battles you lost 5 years ago, the battles you lost 10 years ago, the battles you lost 15 years ago, there is a technology in God that causes you to recover all that you lost, even in the past, on account of what God is doing now. See, God is not a man. If God is doing something now, the impact of what he's doing now will affect yesterday. Because it is with you that is called yesterday. With God, yesterday is now. So when God intervenes in your life now, yesterday will also be included. It says, so the lands that they lost, it says God recovered it for them. And God still didn't stop there. God entered the third level of rest, of help. It's called preservation. It says, and there was peace. Because it's not enough for God to intervene. It's not enough for God to restore. You have to enjoy what God has given you. And so God kept them in peace. Somebody will leave this conference with intervention, restoration, and preservation. The 3 dimensions of God's help: intervention, restoration, and preservation. If we will take over, these 3 things must happen to us. If we must take over, we must possess these 3 things. Listen. The vision God is giving you, you don't know how many enemies it will attract. I used to preach and enjoy my preaching. I'm preaching, I'm joking, I'm talking mysteries. Until God began to increase my influence. Suddenly, demons began to come from everywhere. Principalities began to appear. And they will enter people's hearts just to hate you. They look at you talking, they say you're arrogant. They don't care what you are saying, whether it's true or false. They are just offended the way you appear. And because they look at you that way, they want to do everything to destroy you. They can become wicked. They don't care. If God doesn't help you, the thousands of people praying for you to go down, you'll be shocked. The greatest hope in their heart is the day you will collapse. Then they will come and say, we said it. But they will not see that day happen.
It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by the Spirit of the living God. The more they wait for your fall, the more they will go down, and the more you will rise. Some people will go and research, do study, to look for mistakes in your life, to come and amplify it so that you'll be seen in a bad light. Men will overwork, demons will overwork, principalities will overwork. But here is the good news. It doesn't matter. He said, though the enemy may gather, he said, but it shall not be without me. He said, every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. He said, when the enemy shall come in, he said, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. He said, gather together, you will scatter. Take counsel together, it shall come to naught. For our God is in our midst. If the devil doesn't try, you should be surprised. Tell the devil, throw your best shot. I am like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. Because what is sustaining me is not mortar, it's a mortar. What is sustaining me is not natural, it is spiritual. And so do your worst, and we see the standing. Did you read about David? David alone fought 66 battles. One man. Is the whole world your enemy? But it's in the battle that he became mighty. He said, the Lord teaches my hands to fight and my fingers to war. He said, by my God, I ran through a troop. He said, by my God, I leaped over a wall. The guy could not die. He became invincible because the battles didn't destroy him. They made him stronger. I prophesy over you, every crisis you are going through will only make you stronger because God will prove himself in your life. The help of God. The help of God. The help of God. Somebody tell yourself, I am marvelously helped of God. I am marvelously helped of God. I am marvelously helped of God. I am not alone. I cannot be ashamed. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me before my enemies. My cup runneth over. Yea, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Give the Lord a shout! Don't allow the devil to intimidate you. You are not the first man the devil is fighting. He fought many before you. He will fight many after you. But this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's our light affliction are but for a moment, but they work for us an exceeding weight of glory. It said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. This is the morning of your life. You are not a victim. You are more than a conqueror. For as he is, so are you in this world. You are not a victim. You are more than a conqueror. There is a conqueror's dimension on your inside. And as I speak tonight, I activate that dimension. Arise, shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord is lifted upon thee. He said, Gentiles shall come to your rising. Kings shall come to the brightness of your rising. This is your day. This is your time. Shine forth like the heavens. Even those of you that appear as if you are down now, don't be troubled. He said, though the righteous man falleth seven times, he said, seven times he shall rise again. I prophesy over you, rise again, 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 in the name of Jesus. Somebody is receiving intervention. Somebody is receiving restoration. Somebody is receiving preservation. They have ganged up against you, but there's preservation on your life. It doesn't matter what they throw, you are kept. And some of you, you lost everything. It looks as if there's no hope. As you leave this conference, you will be restored sevenfold. Aliyah. Anything yet. A generation will rise from Zambia. Listen, it looks as if your country is in the middle of many countries and there's no window of penetration, but a generation will rise. You don't need to go through another nation. You will go through heaven and you will shine forth from Zambia into Europe, into America, and into the rest of Africa, because it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit of the Living God. They say you are small. They did a wrong research. Hear this. They say you are small. It's a wrong research. They were studying your territory. They were not studying the God on your inside. They said, though thy beginning be small, but thy latter end shall greatly increase. You will break forth on every side. For your coast is being enlarged, your territory is being enlarged, your capacity is being enlarged, and you as one man will take over many nations. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I declare and I decree, by the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord and by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, step into higher dimensions, step into higher realms, step into higher layers of glory. You want to pray in the Holy Ghost? Please go ahead and pray. Aparate kapatia, aziza zaza, azazazina, bararia tatali, azege tolonda rapaka, jiga, jiga bariata, avendo zane barigadori, ragakatira tatakas, arakato atatatia, amelo rombe nalati, azigado barakatia, azazazina, marako takapatia, aruate zaya. Uano sana abiata kuba kuraka esodo kabakai. your hands toward heaven. The help of God is here. Help the sister. I'm saying, God, break yokes of sicknesses. Yokes of sicknesses. I don't know what you came here with. I don't know what the doctor told you. But there is power here. The help of God is here. Paralysis, blindness, deafness, tumors, deafness, blindness. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over the yokes of sickness. I command sickness, break now. Break now. The chains of sickness, they are breaking. They are breaking. If you were sick, stand up and do what you couldn't do before. The help of God is here. Bone conditions, ear conditions, eye conditions, organ infections, by the Spirit, I command those chains. Break now. Break now. I release the healing power of God. I release the healing power of God. My God, Male Capato, Zakiba, Rakado, Shagas, Varadia, Paparadina, Satak. My God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Some of you have suffered barrenness, unfruitfulness. Hear this. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon you now. And that area of unfruitfulness, in the name of Jesus, I curse that spirit of barrenness. I release the power for fruitfulness. Receive that grace now. Receive that grace now. Barrenness in ministry, barrenness child-wise, barrenness in business, in the name of Jesus, receive the power for fruitfulness. Kabarako bataki baha zegzebereki atidali larakta vila paria sovre nakai zeki da baro zada gavira ragasta prekta kivara da gabando zozodoach zeka barito rakta vira taragash raka pateke bonas abiato balikadaya anzebe zazazazina rakiado paragira samdoro dokai hekarina parush. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Please lift your hands toward heaven. If you can't, just be still. I'm seeing it's a very strong weight of God's glory descending in form of fire here. Some of you who are called to be pioneers in ministry, in business, in leadership, this is your time. That fire will hit here now. Ushers, help me. In the name of Jesus, by the Holy Ghost, take that fire. Ushers, help me now. On the ground, on the gallery, you didn't come to hear a message, you came for an encounter. This is your hour. Take that fire. Mate, Aziana Kabari Akash. Ushers, help them. Some of you will start running. It's the screen, the grace for speed. Mesano Parigata, Avela Kayanda Zuza. Bring them out here. These are leaders ordained for the glory. Ordained for the glory. Mabreke Tozila Kabatina, Azazazana, Marianda Gosh, Mekayana. Azaite Velak Atidatone Baragatina Samdakaya. The fire is falling. The fire is falling. Zikaro Penakira. Help them, help them. This is a Kairos moment. Man in business, some of you, your hands will come under fire. The power to get wealth. The power to get wealth. In the name of Jesus the Christ, take that power now. please help them, bring them out so they are not injured. Feroz que vira pares, adiga para cada sudatanish. The ordination of warriors, the ordinations of the mighty, the ordinations of giants in the kingdom. Step into that water, help them there so they are not injured. Ordinations, ordinations.
Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign.
Forget about it now. God is touching people. Ears will pop open. Eyes will see. Growth will vanish. We are talking about the help of God. People who are obscured in life, nothing they do works. Nobody sees them. Nobody cares. They are being uplifted. Lift your hands and just surrender. And allow God to work on you. Yokes are breaking now. Yokes. Terminal diseases.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit. Demons of sickness are leaving now. In the name of Jesus, I give you instructions by the Spirit. I command your hold to break. Right now, every sickness, every infirmity that is caused by a demon, hear the word of the Lord. I charge you now, in the name of Jesus, come out of their bodies. I speak over yokes. Every form of sickness and disease, I command those yokes to break now. In the name of Jesus, I command those yokes to break now. I command those yokes to break now. Break in the name of Jesus. Eyes that couldn't see, begin to see. Ears that couldn't hear, begin to hear. Liver, kidney, lungs, organs that were not functioning well. Yes, that's right. Come out of her, you devil. Begin to function well now. I command bone conditions be fixed. Muscular disorder be fixed. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. I command growth in the body dematerialize now. This is a command of the Spirit. Thank you, Father. 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 Things are living people. Everything planted in your body, in the name of Jesus, I command them to come out now. I command them to come out. And things moving in people's bodies, I curse them. I command them to die. Every irregular movement in your body, demonically orchestrated, I command those movements to cease now. And I command those creatures to die in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Can you please lift your hands one more time? I sense the Lord anointing special messengers. Many mantles, many graces will be allocated in this conference. Many. I sense God granting special anointings. Father, in the name of Jesus, those who have ordained tonight to be anointed, they say, God did special miracles by the hands of Paul. In the name of Jesus, as I stretch hands over them, in leadership, in economy, in academics, in government, in the ministry, everyone ordained for a fresh anointing, right now I release that oil. In partnership with the Holy Ghost, I declare, let that oil come upon you now. Let that oil come upon you now. Please help them. Those of you in the choir, stretch your hands in my direction. Three of you receive a special anointing now by the Spirit. Take that grace. Please help them. Take that grace. That oil comes upon you now. Thank you, Father. Those of you in ministry that came here, your ministries will never be the same again. The doors of nations open. Your voices are heard in the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. In the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Now hear this. Some of you will have strange encounters before this week is over. Strange encounters. I'm seeing somebody, something coming upon somebody like a fire, a garment of an evangelist. So heavy you can't even contain it. Step into that fire. Born for Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Now, I can't teach the message I brought here tonight, obviously. But tomorrow morning, I will spend time to teach. I won't be preaching. I wanted to teach tonight. Maybe some persons came here with a body. Because the anointing responds to the needs of people. People came here and you drew this out of my spirit. I didn't have this on my script. But it's what people came here with the hunger that provoked the ministration. But tomorrow morning, I'll be taking out time to teach you. But right now, hear this. I'm hearing the Lord has touched people. Somewhere around my right hand here, somebody came here with a heart condition. Your heart keeps palpitating. And sometimes there's this sharp pain that looks as if it's going to kill you. God is telling me he's addressing a heart condition. Somewhere here. Help the mama. Please help her. Help them. Help them. Help them. It's a heart condition. The Lord is touching people. I'm seeing somebody who has a challenge with the urinary tract. From that pillar there towards that back, it looks as if there's somebody there, your bladder. Either you can't contain urine, there's something around your urinary tract, like your bladder, urine escapes or something. The Lord is telling me now he has touched somebody. I don't know if there's somebody around that area. Look at those two pillars there. Is there anybody in that region? You had a challenge with your urinary tract. God is telling me he's touching somebody with that condition. If you are there, can you wave at me? Can you wave at me? Sister? Sister? My God. The power of God is already on her. Somebody close to her. Hold her now. That power is stronger and I arrest that situation now. I arrest that situation now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You had an ear condition. Check it. Your ear is fine now. That sound you were hearing in your right ear, it goes forever, never to return. Never to return. Never to return. In the name of Jesus. You have appendicitis. There's a growth. There's a tumor. Somebody has a tumor. There's this pain around here. Whether it's hernia or appendicitis now. You can feel the growth. It's protruded. You can feel it. But right now it is gone. Can you please check your body? Check your body. If you have noticed a change. Some of these cases I'm calling. Even though they went under the power. Bring them here quickly. The Lord is touching people. The Lord is touching people. That tumor is gone forever. In the name of Jesus. Check it. Tap it. That pain is no longer there. Somebody is suffering from muscles contraction. Your whole body sometimes comes under excruciating pain because of the muscles. They are so stretched beyond measure. And sometimes you can't even stretch your hands because of the pains you feel. The Lord is touching you, loosening that muscles now. For you to receive your healing. Where are the women God touched here? Bring them here. If you have noticed a change, just help the sister. She's fine. If you have noticed a change in your body, can you wave at me quickly? This is intervention around the health, your health. You have noticed a change. Wave at me. Come on, be bold. Come on, be bold. Be bold. I'm seeing hands all over the place. I'm seeing somebody around there. You have this excruciating headache.
and it's affecting your right eye. The eye is so red. Every time that pain comes, the eyes begins to tear. Tears comes out of it. It's so red, and it's a challenge you have carried for years. The Lord is telling me He's taking that yoke off your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Who is that person? Can you just wave your hands? Look at the direction. You are the one, Mama. Come. That thing is gone forever. Never to return again. Never to return again. In the name of Jesus. Those of you, one more time, if you have been healed, can you wave at me? Can you wave at me? You have received the healing. Wow. Wow. Glory to God. Now, those of you who waved your hands, come to me on the altar here quickly. I may not take the testimonies, but come. The intensity is much. Please come, come quickly. Your healing will encourage somebody. Mama, you are the person with that stuff. The urine.
Yes.
Urine comes down.
They say I've got an infection.
They said it was an infection.
Yes, twice they are giving me medication.
It's not working. But Jesus has touched you.
Thank you.
It's gone forever. In the name of Jesus. Are they the ones there? Please come this way. Those of you who are healed, come this way. Don't worry. If they don't come to the altar, it's still fine. Let's obey the protocol. Let's come this way. From that angle, come. Mama, what happened to you? Give her the mic. You had a cyst. Help her, help her. Oh my goodness. Glory to God. Strength, strength. I release strength. I release strength. Stand. You had a cyst. There was a growth. You could feel it.
Yes, and the doctor. I used to go to the hospital.
What did the doctor say?
They said it's still there.
I didn't get that.
It's still there. It was still there.
The doctor saw it.
Yeah.
And when you tap it, you can feel it.
I can feel it.
Was there pain there?
A lot of pain.
A lot of pain.
Yes.
Did you check it now?
Yeah.
The pain is it still there?
I was not standing. I was just seated when you preached.
She couldn't even stand before. My God, the power of God is still on her. Permanent in the name of Jesus. That affliction is gone forever. She had this growth, feeling so much pain, she couldn't even stand. But now the whole pain is gone.
Anything. I can't feel anything.
You can't feel anything.
No.
Oh God. Give Jesus a big hand. What happened, Mama?
I was recently diagnosed with a heart condition.
You were standing there?
Yes.
With a heart condition?
Yes.
What was the challenge?
They said that the heart had grown bigger because my...
The heart had grown bigger?
Yes.
So what were you feeling on account of this?
Because my legs used to swell. They stopped swelling, but I was feeling restless. I would feel restless. Of late, I don't even wear heels, but today I carried my heels. And I thought maybe I would not wear them. But I've been with my heels throughout.
You couldn't wear heels again?
Yes, yes, I stopped.
What happened now?
I don't feel restless and I can...
You don't feel the restlessness anymore. Somebody give the Lord a shout! That affliction is gone forever.
Amen.
The Lord told me you were standing there. I said he's touching that person with that heart condition.
Yes.
Permanent in the name of Jesus. Pepper, what happened to you, sister?
This morning today, I had a terrible headache.
You had that? You were the one with that headache?
Yes.
Over there? It's permanent. What happened to my sister?
I went to the doctor and I was told I've got a heart condition.
You also part of that issue?
Yes.
So what are you feeling?
They told me I have angina pectoris. So every time I have a sharp pain in my heart and it makes me weak.
But so what happened now?
When I was coming, I was following online. Then I decided to enter. The moment I just entered, I started feeling this warm sensation in my body.
All over that place?
All over the place. It was going around the whole body. And I feel better now.
It is permanent in the name of Jesus. What happened to my brother?
I was experiencing sharp pains in my stomach, like sores. But right the moment when you talked about those that are sick, the pain went. just a moment to declare the word.
We can't take all the testimonies. I don't know why I'm hearing in my spirit that somebody had partial paralysis. One side of your body is numb and is stiff as if it's dying. The Lord is telling me he's touching somebody with that affliction. It's as if that part has become heavy, stiff, and you can't even feel any sensation. I don't know if there's somebody here like that. I just received that in my spirit now. You are the one. You have. What was the issue? Please help her quickly. Mama, what happened to you?
I had a stroke.
You had a stroke?
Now, I will continue like when it starts from here.
On this side?
On this side, yes.
You had a stroke?
Yes, I had a stroke, but it has continued. I'm taking a BP tablet.
So what happened to you now?
Now, the headache has continued. One side, this side.
You had a stroke this side?
Yes.
Did you? What happened to you now?
I took medication, but the head—it's only the head which has continued.
The head—you were having headache.
One side. Yes.
You are still having it.
Yes.
Go in the name of Jesus. What happened to my sister? She's the one I'm looking for.
I have a swollen leg. It has been swollen for a month now.
Your leg was swollen for over a month.
Yes.
What happened now?
Sometimes it gets numb.
What happened now?
Feel much better.
You feel better.
Yeah.
It's perfected. Now we can't take all the testimonies. Just write them down, submit them. We'll read them tomorrow. Is that okay? Because of our time. Just write the testimonies. The ushers will direct you. Help the sister. Write them down. I came here tonight to teach. But there was so much hunger. So much demand was placed. And I spoke out of my script. Praise God. Tomorrow morning, we'll take off 9 a.m. and I'll be teaching us. And we'll take our time to go deep into scriptures. But one thing I want you to be mindful of tonight, or two things basically, is that the help of God can be with you now. If you will turn your heart to the Lord, forsake everything that represents God in your life, and commit to serving His purpose. And number two, the help of God is holistic. It is intervention, it is restoration, and it is preservation. Praise God. Praise God. Everyone under this atmosphere, help will never be far from you again. You are not just helped, but you will become the help that men look for. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Tomorrow I'll complete it by showing you the systems of God's help. There are internal systems and there are external systems. I will teach you how to work with the internal systems and how to work with the external systems. The internal systems of God's help are number one, His life. Number two, His spirit. Number three, faith. And number four, the anointing. If you know what to do with these four things, nothing can bring you down. And there are external systems of God's help. And number one is men. God helps men through men. And you need to understand what different men represents in people's lives in different seasons. There is a help that only your biological parents can give you. And you walk in that help as you honor them. There is a help that only spiritual authorities can give you. We need to teach men how to access these things in order to maximize their potentials in life. And then there is also another external system of God's help, which are principles and covenants. The reason some of us are doing well financially is not because we have a good job. It's because we know the covenant. Even the businesses we do today were born from the covenant. And they are sustained by the covenant. And so you need to understand these things in order to live a victorious life. When I'm done teaching these things tomorrow morning, then tomorrow evening we'll have a proper revival service. That's where we'll enter the kingdom.
Lift your hands toward heaven and thank the Lord for what you've heard.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also